Welcome to the Crossbridge Church Podcast. Please join us as Pastor Terry Wiese gives us our weekly worship service message.
Good morning. Oh, alive and well. It must be the second service. Oh, I'm so glad that you guys are here and we get to worship our Lord together. We've had a very exciting week. It's just been a great week. Especially Friday night and Saturday when we had the biblical counseling training conference here at the church. And just listening to some of the testimonies of the people that were there, and they were just telling me, Pastor, it's been life-changing for me. I see the Bible in a new light. I see how the things that God wants me to do, just people are just amazed at what God's done in their life. And I tell you, well, if everything works out, we will have this again next year, and I hope that if you haven't attended it, you will next year. It's broken up into three weekends, and our next one is April 29th and 30th. But I am so proud of the staff that God has given us here. I just want to say thank you to Pastor Nate and Kim and Pastor Matt and Sharina, Janae, Penny, and Peter, and all the volunteers. And I'm not going to mention them by names because I'd forget someone and I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. But thank you guys for all that you did to make this conference a great success. And we just listened how God's word is sufficient. They were telling me, Pastor, I learned that God's word was sufficient for even my smallest problems and my biggest problems. God's word was sufficient. And what an amazing thing. Realize that God has given us His Word and it is sufficient. I'm going to ask you to take a moment, set everything aside. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for a moment. And I'm asking you just really to close your eyes and to clear your mind. Whatever your spouse said to you on the way to church, the guy that cut you off in traffic, what you're thinking about for lunch or where you what you're going to do on Monday or, you know, what the kids did and they didn't behave or they did. I just want you to take and just shove that out of your mind and your heart. And I want you to take a moment and just prepare your heart to receive God's word this morning. That His word would find itself in good soil, that the seed would have roots that go deep, and that there'd be a transformation of your life and it would produce fruit. Father, take this moment. Transform the lives of each and every individual here. To those that know you, Lord, give them greater strength to live for you and transform even the things that are not pleasing to you in their life. For those that are not in a relationship with you, God, I pray, Lord, that the seed would find good soil and it would give root, that there would be a transformation of their heart. I pray, God, you would move. Touch us. Change us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's begin with a question. Have you ever found yourself in this situation? Now, you young people, probably not. What the second one, you will. You unmarried will not, hopefully, find yourself in this situation. But your spouse calls you while you're at work, and she says, honey, on your way home from work, would you be willing to pick up a few things from the grocery store for me? Sure. I found myself in this situation. And she says, I want you to pick up 4 lean ribeye steaks, can of green beans, head of lettuce, a nice red ripe tomato, a bag of rolls, and some golden delicious apples. And the list goes on. So when you come home, you know you're in trouble when you see her face And in your hand, you have Red Baron pizza, Market Chef salad, and Crunch Pack apples sliced. You know you're in trouble. If you didn't do that, you know you're in trouble with your wife when you're from the grocery store. You text her. Now, what was it that you wanted? Not a good call. Or even worse, you make the grave mistake of calling her and say, hey, I can't find what you want. By the way, what was it you wanted? Why are you in trouble? You're in trouble because she knows you weren't listening, right? Or maybe you kids have found yourself in this situation. And I call you kids because I'm old enough to be almost your grandpa. You don't have to laugh, okay? But maybe you find yourself in the conversation with your kids or your kids with your mom and dad. And your mom and dad say to you, say, hey, I want you to go upstairs or into your room, and I want you to clean up your room. I want you to hang up your clothes. I want you to put your dirty clothes in the laundry basket, and I want you to straighten up your room. And, oh, by the way, have your homework done before you come down for dinner. Any parents ever said that before? Yeah, I see you nodding your head. So how do you know if they listen to you? How do you know? You know when they did what you told them to do. That's how you know they listened to you. Let's begin with understanding what hearing and listening means. Hearing is simply the act of perceiving sound by the ear. It's like background noise. Hearing simply happens. You don't have to do anything to hear. It happens, unless you're hearing impaired. However, listening is something you consciously choose to do. Listening requires concentration so that your brain processes the meaning of the words, the sentences, and the instructions that you were given. That's what it means. So with that in mind, let's look to Luke chapter 8. And if you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible in front of you in the chair, black hardbound Bible. And you would find Luke chapter 8, verse 16 through 21. You'll find it on page 865. So turn with me there, and we'll begin reading. I'll read, and so I want you to listen. Luke chapter 8, verse 16. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care, then, how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. Verse 19. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. But he answered them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. The key verse is found in verse 18 where it says, take care then how you hear. Now, listening is a constant theme in the scripture. The word here would probably be better translated listening, because if you read the end of verse 18, it says do it. So it's obedient. So you have to listen to hear it. Listening is a constant theme throughout the scripture. And if you remember, you were here a couple of weeks ago, you would remember that I asked you, how do you hear the word? And I told you that Jesus made it clear in Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15, that hearing the word is not just a matter of plopping down in the seat in the sanctuary and hearing. It's not that simple. Now, Jesus' point in the message is that Satan himself has a real interest in you not listening to the word of God. Jesus is indicating that for you to hear the word of God actually is to engage in a spiritual battle, because Satan does not want you to hear the word of God. As Satan, if you remember, is in the parable of the sower, verses 4 through 15 in the earlier part of this chapter. And Jesus himself is active in trying to keep, Satan is active in trying to keep people from hearing the word of God. But in others, there's an initial response that we find. In some people, Satan distracts them immediately so that the word never takes root in their heart. In others, there's this initial response of joy, but then in all too brief of a time, it's gone. And still in others, there is a response of truth, but what happens? The cares, the riches, and the pleasures of this world choke the word. So when you listen to the word of God, you need to recognize that God has given that word to you. Whether you're reading your Bible alone, whether you're reading it with your family, whether you're listening to the pastor read it on Sunday morning, or whether you're listening to a passage that we just read, Luke chapter 8, verse 6, 16 through 21, or whether you're listening to the word being preached. You see, when you listen to the word, God's goal is not simply for you to know something of its contents or even to shake your head in agreement. Yeah, I'm in agreement with that. But that the truth is to be worked into your life in such a way that you respond with truth, you respond to the truth with obedience. So let me ask you another question. How do you hear or listen to the word of God? Do you really listen to the word of God? When it's read to you aloud, like this morning, when Dan just read 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 7, did you listen to what was read, or did you just hear the background noise of it being read? Does it just go in one ear and out the other ear? Or when you hear it, do you realize that God has something that he wants you to know? Or is something he wants you to believe in? Or something that he wants you to act upon? Are you sensitive to what he's saying to you in his word? Do you respond to it by not only believing it and maybe even shaking your head in agreement, but actually doing what the word of God tells you to do? Or do you listen politely, but your mind is in neutral? Don't ask my wife. She knows when it's in neutral. It's usually Sunday afternoon, and she's chatty. I've preached two sermons, and I'm tired. And I just sit there, yeah, mm-hmm. But honestly, it's background noise. And then she knows it, and she looks at me, and she goes, focus, focus. Yeah. But you know what? That's what some of you do here on Sunday morning. Your mind's in neutral. Or maybe you're thinking about what you're going to do on Monday or the week. Think about when you would plan your vacation. But you're not listening to the word of God. You see, your mind's in neutral, or even more, there's no motivation in your heart to respond in obedience to God's word. It's just not there. You don't want it because you're not listening. And that's what Jesus is talking about in this passage. He is exhorting his disciples to listen with care to the word of God, because listening to the word is an eternally important matter. In this passage, Jesus makes it clear that how we respond now to the word of God reveals ahead of time what's going to happen on the last day. You see, Jesus makes it very clear from the word of God, when it is read or proclaimed, that the heart is revealed. And if we respond in obedience to the word which is revealed, is that God is at work in his grace and his glory in our hearts. Transformation's taking place. And if we respond with indifference and with disobedience to God's word, what is being revealed is a judgment that's going to be stored up for everyone who does not listen to the word of God rightly. And so I want us to look closely at this passage this morning. And I want you to see what Jesus says loud and clear. And that by God's grace and by the work of the Holy Spirit, it is my prayer that you will listen to what Jesus is saying in verse 16. We're going to look at the parable of the lamp. And in verse 16, it says, "No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light." Now, the lamp here is probably an ancient oil-burning lamp, or maybe even a candlestick. And Jesus is comparing revelation to light. Now, this is evidently is one of the favorite sayings of Jesus, because he mentioned it in Matthew chapter 5 and Mark chapter 4 and Luke chapter 11, and also here in our text in chapter 8. And in view of the context here, the lamp refers to a person who has the light of God's word within him or her. And each individual then has a responsibility to let that light illuminate around him, rather than concealing it within him or her. So we need to understand that when we know the word of God, that when we know the word of God, it changes us. Our life is transformed. To some of those that have come to Christ, they just tell me the things I used to do aren't fun anymore. In fact, I feel they're not right. I know they're not right. There's a transformation that takes place. So when we know the word of God, it changes us. Even as believers, we continually stay in the word because it changes us. So we need to come to understand the purpose of God's word. The truth that is given to us is to shine, to be a witness to God's grace and glory. And it's really important that we know the word of God so that we can be a light to those whose story we know. You remember we've talked about this. We've talked about that we need to know people's story. I've asked you, do you know the person's story that's sitting next to you? If you don't know your wife's story, you're in trouble. But do you know the person that's sitting two rows in front of you? Do you know their story? What's their life about? Where'd they come from? Do you know their story? Because it's important, because if you know their story and then you know God's word, you know how to apply it and help them in their journey of life. It's important to know. You see, God is telling us that his word is given to us to change us. God's truth is given to shine in us and from us, and truth is given to shine. God's word's meant to change us, but it's also his truth is meant to shine out. We're to illuminate the word of God. See, the light of word of God is meant to produce a light that bears witness to God's grace and God's glory. And we can see that in verse 16. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar, puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. Now, that's hard for most of us to grasp. Candle setting up high, or a lamp setting up high, so that we, because we live in a country where we have electricity 24/7. I mean, outside of Sandy, we have power all the time. But when I and my family lived in the Philippines, and we lived specifically on the island of Palawan, we had 8 hours of no power every day. But we never knew which 8 hours it was going to be. And so we had some candles, and we had a glass kerosene lamp. And we would light that lamp, and we would set it up high so that we would see. We wouldn't step on the kids' toys, or we wouldn't trip over a chair and fall and hurt ourselves. But we would light, because at nighttime, when the power's out in your own island where there's no power, I'm telling you, you can see all the stars if it's a clear night. All the stars visible. It's amazing. But here we have this lamp. And you know, the thing about it is the longer you burn that lamp and you don't take time to pull the globe off of it and clean it out, pretty soon that light doesn't get out. It doesn't get out at all. In fact, it's almost as if it's not on. And that's kind of like our lives. You see, as a believer, we have been illuminated with the Word of God, and it's to live in us. But if we don't keep in the Word, and we don't keep those things that beset us, those sins that keep us, then the globe kind of gets dirty, and the light doesn't illuminate. People can't see. They just see, we're just like them. We're sinners. They're thinking, what's the difference? Why should I go to church? I see their life, my life, it's no different. It's important for us to stay in the Word and to listen to the Word, to grasp the meaning, the structure of the sentences, the application that it has for each and every one of our lives. God is telling us. He wants us to change. Now, it's relevant, parable here is relevant in the times that it was written, because you see, probably they only had candles. They only had candles or fire or a lamp, and so the illustration makes perfect sense. And in those days, there wasn't any electricity to give light after darkness. So when someone lit a candle in the room, it wasn't going to be hid under a table, under a mattress roll. Because the very purpose of that light is to give light in the room so that people can see. And Jesus is saying that what the Word of God is given is to produce in your life, it's given to produce light, the light of life, Jesus. In other words, the Word of God is not just given to us so that we will know things that other people don't know. The Word of God is not given to us so that we will shake our heads in agreement. It's given to change the way we are so that we will hear and witness, so that we'll become lights individually and as a people, a city on a hill. We are to give lights through our life so that Jesus makes it clear that God's truth is put in us, that we may shine and that our lives bear testimony to the truth that has been put in us. So truth is given to shine. The Word of God is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Verse 17 is interesting. If you'll look there with me in verse 17. Verse 17 tells us, for nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Now, the light here in verse 16 exposes hidden things in verse 17. So the light they're speaking in verse 16 That light is going to reveal the hidden things in verse 17. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Nothing will be concealed. The Word of God has a scripture. It says, be sure your sins will find you out. The light. There's an interesting story I read on the internet as I was looking for illustration, and I found it very, very good. It's supposedly a true story. I don't know. But I saw it everywhere. A lot of guys were using this illustration. And years ago, there was a Chinese man who traveled to London and was fascinated by the powerful microscope and the wonders that it uncovered, and looking at water and seeing that it looks clear, but there's things in the water. And so he bought one, and he took it back to China. And he was thoroughly enjoying using it, looking and examining things. And one day he was preparing rice, which is a staple in Asia, especially in China, Philippines. And that rice is a staple. And so he thought, you know, I'm going to look at the rice. And so he took some rice and he put it under the microscope, and he was appalled, and it grossed him out. He saw things crawling on the rice. He was upset about that. It just kind of blew his world away. He didn't know what to do. What do I do? Rice is a staple in my. I love rice. I love eating rice. But I see all that stuff. So you know what he did? He smashed the microscope to smithereens. He just got rid of it. Forget that. I didn't see that. It's not there. Ignore it completely. Smashed it. Got rid of it. That was crazy. But let's bring that illustration to home. But how many people do the same thing with the Bible or with sermons they hear from the Bible that exposes their sin? They don't feel comfortable with what they see. So they just get rid of the source rather than deal with the sin. I quit reading my Bible. And then I'm not going to church. And so then pretty life, they think, I've taken care of the problem, but it is a problem that doesn't go away. Your sin can't be hidden. The light will make it manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be made known and come to light. And that's exactly what Jesus is exhorting in verse 18. If you look in verse 18, it says this, take care how you hear. And it's probably better translated listen for us in our language. But listen, for the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. You see, listening carefully means taking the time to read God's Word and meditate on it. It's not speed reading. It's not hooking up the headphones and letting the Word play in your mind in neutral. It's of no benefit. It's like cooking a meal but not eating it. I find it interesting that those who attend church regularly, so many are simply ignorant of what the Bible says because they do not take the time to consistently read it and think about what it means. You see, in our busy schedules, we often rush through our devotions, if we have devotions at all, without taking the time to meditate on what the text means and how it applies to our lives. The phrase, what he thinks that he has, is important. Because it's not what a person thinks that he has is important, but whether he actually has something or not. Jesus describes the person who does not heed his word or have nothing, as having nothing. And the person who has nothing loses even that which he thought was something, but was not. In other words, he has absolutely nothing at all. We must take seriously Jesus' teaching. So we have the parable of the lamp. And we move to Jesus speaking here. And he tells us, but Luke is recording what's happening here with his family. And we see the real family of Jesus here. And it says in verse 19, then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. But he answered them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Just for some thought, Nike was not the first one to come up with do it. Just do it. You see, when you hear that word, God's goal is not simply for you to know something of its content or even to shake your head in agreement, but that that truth is to be worked into your life in such a way that we respond to that truth with obedience. So if you're reading a passage in the Bible that contains the gospel, your response to the gospel is not simply to be, oh yes, I've heard that before, I probably agree with that, but it is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God and Savior of sinners. It's to rest and trust in Him alone for salvation as He is offered in the gospel, to trust Him with your everlasting life. It's to share with others how they might come to the living God in Jesus Christ. To hear the gospel rightly is to respond to it by believing, by trusting, and sharing the gospel. Or maybe you're reading the Bible and you find some of God's principles and precepts, even some of the laws that He has, and you're convicted by the word that is in the law. You're realizing that you're guilty of a sin that the Word of God is speaking against, and you're to respond in repentance and confession. That's how you're to respond. You're not just say, yeah, I know that's wrong, but yeah, anyway, everyone else is doing it. Other people shouldn't do that. But it is to recognize, I've done this, Lord, I've done this. I've broken this law. I repent of this. I confess my sin to you. I ask you to forgive me and to cleanse me and to change me as I read in your word. But we live in a society today that we're the victims. That it's anyone and everyone else's fault that I'm the way I am. It's my parents' fault. It's the environment I work at work. It's my environment. It's the way I am. That's why it makes me so angry at work. I can't get along with people. And it's just the way I am with my family. They're just kind of crazy. And so it's their fault. I wouldn't be this way if they weren't that way. And so we begin to shift blame to other people for our own sin. You see, we have failed miserably in our society today to link sin with ownership. I sinned. I take ownership. I was wrong. Please forgive me. We don't know how to say that. We don't know how to tell people, because we've bought into what the world teaches is that it's everyone else's fault. It's not mine. I'm a victim here. When in reality, we're the perpetrator. We're the sinner. the point here is found in verse 21. My mother and brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Luke really drives home this point when Jesus' family comes to visit him. And Luke uses this story to show that the key to a relationship with Jesus is not birth. It's not a birth or other natural privileges, but it's obedience to God's word. Those who obey him are truly Jesus' family. Those who do are not. Those who do not obey, Jesus is saying this. Jesus was not renouncing family ties. Jesus wasn't saying, that's not my real mother and that's not my real brothers. Jesus wasn't renouncing his family ties or our obligations, but he was setting priorities. God's word and God are my priority. You see, allegiance to God's word must be first. It's just got to be first. You haven't heard God's truth until you've obeyed it. And we'll get to that again, but I want you to listen to this. Allegiance to God's word must first be first, even more important than family. Jesus is most intimate with those who hear and obey his word. As Jesus told us in John chapter 14, verse 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will be disclosing myself to him. You see, if you want Jesus to disclose to you, you must hear his word. You must listen with a view to obedience. He says you are his mother and his brothers, and the wonderful privilege of being close to Jesus is that anyone who walks in obedience to him is in a relationship with him. Jesus says that we must take care how we listen to the truth, and that the way to listen to the truth is to listen to the truth in such a way that we respond to it and we obey it. In verse 21, he says, my mother and my father are who? Those who hear the word of God and do it. What does Jesus say? He's saying you haven't heard God's truth until you've obeyed it. You just haven't. That's how we know when our children obey us, is when we say, do this, and it's done. That's how you know they listen to you. You see, they've heard what you said, and they obey. And so we hear God's truth, what he tells us about us, that we are the perpetrator, not the victim, that we are to take ownership of our sin, and that we are to repent of it and receive his gift. That's what it's about. So the question this morning to you is, are you listening to the word of God? Are you just hearing the sounds? You see, you haven't heard the truth the way God intends you to hear the truth until you've done it. The truth heard accurately is truth obeyed. The truth is only heard accurately when it produces fruit in your life, because verse 18 tells us this. It tells us that what does the word produce when it falls into good soil? It bears fruit with patience. So are you really listening to the word of God? Listening to the word of God, recognizing it's for you and not for your neighbor or the person sitting next to you? But if you're listening to the word of God and realizing that God intends to change you from the inside out by his word, dwelling richly in you so that your light will shine, That's why he wants you as a believer. If you're not a believer, he wants you to receive the word and become a believer. It's challenging, isn't it, to live that way? Well, let's look at the whole context of this here. You see, we have the application of God's word here, and there's a question here. How is it with you? Are you hearing the word of God? Can you remember a time in your life when it was as if the pastor was preaching and it's like he just peeled back your chest and he looked into the innermost recesses of your heart and he opened it up and he poured in the word of God, and as painful as it was the most restorative thing that you have ever experienced. And you believed and you were new and you responded. But how long has it been? Weeks, months, even years since you've heard the word of God like that poured into your heart? Jesus is saying in this passage, how you hear the word of God reveals something that's going on to transpire on the final day. And here's what he's saying is going to transpire on the final day. The final day, those who hear the word of God are going to be given everything. And those who have not heard the word of God are going to have everything taken away from them. Do you realize that what happens every time the word of God is read, every time the word of God is proclaimed, something happens in this place? Or whenever the word of God is taught rightly, that signifies what will happen on the judgment day. Do you realize that the word of God is powerful and effective and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it always works? The word of God always works. It always works to do two things: either to draw sinners to faith in Christ, or to build up the saints in him, or is to heap up condemnation on those who will not hear it. Those two things always happen when the word of God is preached. And those things signify what will happen on the final judgment. And Jesus says it in verse 18, to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks, or even what she thinks he has or she has, will be taken away. That is why listening to the word of God carefully and rightly has eternal consequences. And so I'm going to ask the praise team if they'll come at this time. I'd like to ask you to stand with me with your heads bowed as I speak to you for just a moment as they come. I still want you to keep your minds clear, and I want you to listen to what I have to say. Listen carefully. Don't allow the movement to distract you. Listen very carefully. Sometimes people complain that reading God's word or listening to it being preached is boring. I admit that some portions of the word are difficult and some preachers are not very exciting, and there are times I'm not. But often our problem is with our own attitude. It's not with the word. It's not with God's word. It's not often with the pastor. Listen carefully to these two questions. Are you listening to the word of God? I mean, hearing the words, understanding the meaning of those words and the structure those words were put into a sentence and the application that it has for you. Are you listening to the word of God? Do you listen to what Jesus said? My mothers and brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. My question to you, obeying the Word of God? If not, why not? Man, the blessings that are bestowed upon those who hear the Word of God, listen to it carefully, make application to their life, have a real deep relationship with Jesus. They have a closeness, and He reveals Himself, and he lets you know who He is. Why would you not obey the Word of God? Your family, when you obey the Word of God. My question to you is, when are you going to start? Has it been too long? Praise team's going to sing. And I ask you to search your heart. Down into the deep crevices of your heart. Those areas, like the microscope, you don't want to see them. But you got to take ownership of them. And you got to let the Word of God transform your heart. You got to be obedient to it. Take ownership of it and say, I need a Savior. Or, Lord, you're my Savior, but I need to confess this, and I need the transformation of my heart in this area. I need to live more like you. Today should be the day that you are listening to the Word of God and you are obeying His Word. As they sing, would you come?
Crossbridge Church would like to invite you to share this podcast with your family, friends, and neighbors. We ask that you share this podcast without changing it, and that you share it without asking for payment. Thank you for listening to the Crossbridge Church Weekly Message.